This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. There's no ease in podcast and no ease in blueberry.com.
Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift.
G'day, I'm Eric.
And I'm Judy.
And welcome to episode 2 of Blast,
Blast from the Past
podcast. And this is episode 2. Welcome.
Hello.
How did you find recording episode 1?
Good. I really enjoyed it. Must have done something right because you haven't sacked me.
No, definitely not. And this podcast is about reflecting about things from the past, and namely your past, because for people who don't know, you're my mum.
Yeah. And so they say.
Apparently.
It's on the certificate.
It's on the internet.
Yeah.
And so we'll be talking about things from the past, because we've often had conversations where you'd say, back in my day, I walked 10 kilometres. Oh, hang on, they didn't have kilometres back then.
No, it was miles.
It was miles, exactly,
yeah.
The point.
Yeah, and it wasn't 10, it was 2 miles to school. Yeah.
And so we'll be talking about this sort of thing during each of the episodes, but we pick something to talk about. As we're going to do on each episode, talk about something different. And today we're going to talk about telephones.
That's right.
Now, you actually worked at a telephone exchange. And for
yep.
those people who don't know...
What one is.
What is a telephone exchange?
Well, a telephone exchange is where you... It's run... Well, it was run by the GPO, which means... the General Post Office, and or the telephone exchange. And I was always keen on phones because having the gift of the gab and that sort of thing. And my dad couldn't use the phone, so whenever Dad wanted to use the phone to ring up somebody, he used to get me, because you had to ring the operator. You'd go to the post office, because us poor people, you didn't have a phone in your home. So you'd have to walk to the post office, get your money, and you'd turn around and you'd have to ring the operator, and you'd have to say who, you know, the number that you wanted, and then they'd turn around, and then when they answered, they'd tell you to put the money in and press button A, or if they didn't answer, you'd press button B, which returned the money. And it was a big old black thing up high on the wall, you know. And so I worked in the exchange where I was the operator.
So, if I was at home and, for instance, I wanted to ring Drew in the Oak Pod studio...
You'd have to ring the operator. Well, so you used to wind... In the middle of the phone was this handle, and you used to spin it around. And then, you know, it'd light up on the switchboard at the exchange.
So, I wouldn't even have to press a button...
No, you just wind this little thing in the middle. So, then you'd answer and you'd go, operator!
And I'd say, can I speak to Drew...
Number, whatever, you know. Some people, they had party lines on the properties here. So it'd be RMB, which was Royal Mailbox, and then you'd say number, say, for example, number 2. And so then, because people would answer and they'd say, I want number 2, please. So they'd connect, you know, connect the other people that hang up. But a lot of the times they used to listen in on your conversation. You knew, because the person was hard to hear. So if you wanted Drew, him living where he was now, well, they didn't have units in them days. They had terraces. So you'd ring him up. Well, you'd have to say, he'd have a number, like it would be, they only had, say, small numbers in them days because there wasn't as many people.
Like, say, 4 digits or...
Well, it was always 3 digits. So you'd say, I want 678. So then you'd say, connecting. So then you'd turn around and you'd write, you know, you'd put the plug in the wall and you'd ring the thing. We had a key, you pull a key. And then they'd turn around and then they'd answer, well, you'd leave them. And we used to turn, well, with a local call, you didn't have to time them because it was a certain fee. But we have to fill in the docket. And then we'd turn around then and we'd have to, when the call, you put the time and all that sort of thing and how much, and then you'd send it off. And that's how they got the phone bill. They'd send the person the phone bills.
So on the cable, there'd be, I'm presuming, a hole for my number.
Yeah.
And then a cable that runs from that into Drew's number.
Yeah. With big long cords. Very much like when you know how you've got the leads, well, like the leads on your microphone.
Yeah.
And they had a jack. It was called a jack.
Yeah.
And you turn around how you put your jack into your mixer.
Yep.
Well, ours was you had a row of keys and you had the jacks, and each one had two jacks to each socket. So one would be for the caller and one would be to the person that you're calling. So you turn around and pull one up, plug it into your phone,
yep.
And then you'd plug it into the person that you're calling.
So Drew's little hole next to his number.
Yeah, and it had a little light underneath your phone. And so it would glow. So all the switchboards along were all like mirrored. So they'd turn around and they'd have a light on so that if somebody down the other end of the room, say, for example, Squeak rung up and he wanted to ring you.
Yep.
Well, she'd turn around and answer and he'd say, I want to ring number 741. And you turn around and she'd say, oh, sorry, because the light was shining.
I'm on the phone.
I'm sorry, that number's busy at the moment. Would you like to try again later? See? So he'd say, okay, you know. So that's what they used to do. So you could tell who was on the phone to who, you know. And in them days, I mean, Penrith was only small compared to, I mean, now it's a major city. But them days it was only just like, it was a little country town. So it was, you know, everybody knew everybody. So you turned around and not everybody had the phone on at home anyway. Because, as I said to you before, you had to have money to have the phone on because it was a luxury.
So what sort of time period, when are we talking roughly?
Then, when I worked in the exchange, that would have been in the early, mid-60s. Because it was 1966 when we went from pound shillings and pence over to dollars. So that was, and I was 14. So it was in the mid-60s. I started the exchange when I was 15, 16. And I worked at the exchange for about 4 years. Till I was 19, and then I got a job at the army base, working on the switchboard at the army base. So then I upgraded to just a switchboard, which was what they call a PABX, and it started off the same. It was a miniature version, but only one of, you know, we had lines where calls came in at the bottom, and then all across the top was from one to how many lines of extensions of the different people. And then later on then we upgraded, then we went over to automatic, which means a room behind where I was made into a big exchange thing with all the equipment, and I had this little, it was about like a typewriter, so you just press buttons and dialed, and it was all automatic. It was, you know, the big, and it was quite funny because the switchboard was called Ericsson. So it was really funny because of your name being Eric. You know, and I used to say when I was pregnant with you, the son of Eric, you know. So, but that's how much phones have changed just in from when I was a teenager working at the telephone exchange to when I worked at the army camp, and I was there for 10 and a half years as a telephonist receptionist. And from there I turned around, and you know, over the time then when they bought the, well, actually, we had the phone on when we moved here. We've lived here 27 years, and we never had a phone. At Mum's, we never had a phone. And when we lived in our flat, we never had a phone because I didn't need a phone because I worked on phones all day. But when we moved here, I got the phone on because I left work, and I was working as a barmaid then, so I needed the phone to be on call. So, and also I was... started going with a guy that was in a band, and I started managing country and western bands, and I became an agent. So I needed the phone to organise, to ring musos and to ring the pubs, to ring me to do bookings and things. So then we went into mobile phones, the big dinosaur.
Yeah, so let's go back a bit because we've skipped
getting
through
carried
about
away. We'll skip 20 years.
20 years and about 20 seconds there. So... when you were working at the telephone exchange, how much would a local call have cost, roughly?
It was, well, then it was pennies, and that it used to be sixpence for a local call. If you made a call to Sydney or up to Katoomba, it'd be 2 bob, 20 cents. And then if you rung interstate, like Melbourne or whatever, it would be so much. It was so much a minute. So all 3 minutes, they'd charge you by the 3 minutes. So if someone was ringing from a phone box, you'd have to turn around every 3 minutes. You'd have to go across to the call, to the public phone box, and say, 3 minutes, are you extending? And then you'd have to divide. You used to have this lever so that the person you were calling couldn't hear, and you'd just tell them to hang on for a minute, and you'd tell them to put how many coins in.
Yep.
And that reminds me of a funny story. When I was working at the exchange, they at one of the local phone boxes, the guys went out to empty it. And when they emptied it, the phone box was full of all these washers. And they were the size of a 5 cent piece. And they turned round, and there was a couple of 2 bob pieces in it, and, you know, sixpences and that.
But mainly washers.
But it was mainly all washers. And this went on for months. And they turned around and said, you know, something's going on here. So they turned around and they decided that they were going to, you know, try and catch the person. And they worked it out. There was this guy that was in the RAF, and he was ringing his girlfriend a certain night, because I can't remember what night it was now. And he used to ring his girlfriend once a week at a certain time in, say, Melbourne. And so he realised, he worked it out, that these washers were the same weight as a 2 bob piece. So when the operator would challenge him, he'd be on the phone for, you know, about half an hour or so, and they'd say, put the money in. Well, when you work on the exchange, you wear a headphone like you do recording, and you could turn around and you could hear the different coins when you put them in, they made a different sound.
Yep.
So he worked it out that this washer made the same noise as the 2 bob piece. So he, you know, the operator would tell him to put the money in, press the button, and they'd leave him for another, or he'd say, well, I'm going to talk for 6 minutes, so he'd pay double up. So they worked it all out after a couple of months that it was his RAF guy. So they set a trap for him. They decided to catch him. So what they turned around and did, they had to set it up with the police, and they turned around and they had an unmarked thingo car there, and they had to catch the guy in the act, because he couldn't just say, oh, you know, we think it's him. So they caught him in the act on the phone, talking to his girlfriend, and next to him, it had like a little counter next to the phone, wooden counter, he had this hanky full of washers. So they caught him, and that was caught in the act. So they caught him, they arrested him, and he ended up going to court over it, you know. But that's one thing that I've never, ever forgotten, is these washers.
And speaking of ringing girlfriends and that sort of stuff, you also used to use it as a sort of social activity.
Yeah.
To talk to different people.
Yeah.
In the different exchanges you were saying on the first episode.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend that moved up to Dubbo, and once a week, because we were allowed free calls. So when we had a meal break, I used to turn around and go out to have a cup of tea. And so I used to ring her like a certain night, once a week at a certain time, and I was allowed to talk to her for 15 minutes. So you'd ring into the switchboard, and they'd pick you up and say, you know, it's Judy on the phone, you know, she wants to call Dubbo. And so they used to connect me to my girlfriend, and I used to ring her up once a week for nothing and talk for 15 minutes, you know. So that was the good advantage there of working in the exchange. And like I said before about the guys, I met a guy on the exchange once, and his father ended up being your best friend at school. And he used to work on the telephones. He was in the army. He was an Asho. And he used to work the switchboard at the army base. And he turned around and so all us girls, you know, think, oh, you know, his name was John. That's all we'll say his name was. His name was John. And he'd ring up making all these calls, you know, and everything. So on the weekends, us girls used to, you know, get cheeky, and the bosses weren't there, so we could muck around and whatever. And so a few of us decided he used to come out to the phone box, which was outside the army camp, and ring up and chat. So what we turned around and did was I'd be chatting to him on the phone, keeping him occupied, and one of the girls would be on a meal break. She'd get in the car and she'd go up and drive up past there and check him out. So that way then we knew whether he was okay to go out with or not, you know. If he was a dag, you know, make up an excuse. So we used to do things like that, you know. And, I mean, I'm talking 16, 17.
Didn't you have some guy come to visit you at the exchange?
Yeah, that was a guy from, his name was Texas. He was tall and skinny, about 6 foot something. And he come from Dallas in Queensland, country, real country hick.
Not Dallas in America?
No, Dallas in Queensland. And we used to chat to him, me and my girlfriend, we used to chat to him on the phone all the time. There was a couple of them at Dalby and that, you know, we used to talk to. And he decided to come down to Sydney for a holiday for the Easter show. And you wouldn't believe it. I come out, because when we come out, this is when I was working in Sydney at the GPO. I come out of work this night and you had to go out there was only one door you could go out because it's security safe and that of a night. And you wouldn't believe it. Here he was standing there up against the bloomin' wall. And when I walked out, he turned around and said, "Are you Judy?" Because I'm a redhead.
Yep.
And so he picked the red hair. And the only couple of people come out that time, be like 10 o'clock at night. "Are you Judy?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I'm Texas." You know, because he had this real hick voice.
Yep.
I nearly died. But the thing was, I couldn't get rid of him. And I felt terrible because he'd come from Queensland down by train for hours and hours in the country train. They went to the Royal Easter Show to show their cows or whatever it was, and he decided to come and surprise me.
Well, he certainly did that by the sounds of things.
Well and truly. So, and then he's putting on the, "Oh, I've got nowhere to stay." So I decided to take him on the train with me and bring him home. And my mum, she was really, you know, strict. And I had to turn around, make him wait outside and go in and wake mum up, which I wasn't very popular. This is near midnight. Told her the story quickly and I said, "Can he stay the night? Because he's got nowhere to stay." So I got into trouble and I got a mouthful and everything else, but mum put him up on the lounge. And the next day he couldn't get in a taxi quick enough to go back to, because he had to get back to Sydney to his cows. But I never heard from him after that. I don't know why. So that's one of many episodes.
So back in that day, how many telephone exchanges would they have had?
What do you mean?
Well, you said you were working, for instance, at Penrith, Sydney. How many exchanges would they have had?
Well, they had Sydney Telephone Exchange. You had what they call Dally Street, and that was the where people rung in for public phone boxes, and then they had the private people ringing in for interstate. I worked at interstate at the GPO, and then upstairs from us was international. So they were all combined, and, you know, in them days then they had, like, information, 01, 012, 013, and they also had telephone complaints. They were all on different floors at the GPO. So I chose to work on the interstate phones because it was better to change shifts, and because of me living out at Penrith and I had to get the mountain train, I used to get the Mudgee Mail home. So I used to turn round and it was better for me to swap shifts, and they'd let you off earlier and stuff to get your train home and that.
So would there have been one at Parramatta or Penrith?
No.
Or?
Parramatta had an exchange because that's the next biggest place from Sydney. Then they had a telephone exchange out at Richmond, which was a country, like Penrith, was a country exchange where you'd ring the operator to connect your houses and everything.
Mind you, we're talking, what, late 60s, early 70s?
No, that was in the 60s.
In the 60s, okay.
Yeah, late 60s. Penrith, there was Penrith Exchange, Richmond Exchange, Windsor Telephone Exchange. They had one at Katoomba, and then they had one at Campbelltown. Well, when I got transferred to Penrith, I was 18. I got a transfer to Penrith. And I turned around and I worked out at Campbelltown for 6 months because they used to call it country relief. And I worked a couple of times. I relieved someone at Windsor when they were on holidays. And it was great because you got extra money. So, and that's how I bought my first car, because I saved the money up, work a night shift, you got extra money. Then when I bought my, it was an old Holden, then I got the job out at Campbelltown. Well, I lived there because they paid you accommodation and everything. And one of the ladies I worked with, she had a spare room and she offered me to turn around and rent the room off her. So I lived there and only went home on my days off.
And then I presume in country towns like Dubbo and Bathurst and Orange, all that sort of stuff, they had their own...
Well, my ex-partner, he turned around. He was a telephone night boy up at Mindoran, which is up at up near Dubbo.
Up Dubbo way, yeah.
Yeah, and he was a country boy on the telephone exchange of a night there because the boys used to work nights in, or like they'd sleep in the on a fold-up bed and they used to sleep of a night. So... no one would ring up, only occasional, but they had to have someone there to answer the phone. So they called them night boys. So he, and that's the thing with him and I, we, like, blast from the past, him and I used to compare our notes because he was an exchange worker and so was I. So we knew what we were talking about.
So when you left the telephone exchange, that would have been telecom?
Yeah.
Back then?
Yeah, telecom, yeah.
Which is now Telstra?
Telstra, yeah. Telstra bought them out, yeah. So it was actually, first of all, it was called GPO, General Post Office. And then from that, it went over to Telecom, bought them out. And then Telstra bought them out. So, you know, I don't even know what they've got now. I know the exchange is still at Penrith. But I don't know whether any of the women still work there on information. They might. It's all in town, I think.
A lot of it's all computerised.
Yeah.
You actually rung information recently.
Yeah.
And you're a bit annoyed about it.
Yeah, because when I worked at the exchange, we had like the big long wall with all the double up plugs and cords, and all the girls sat side by side, and then you had behind you like a... like the preacher has, you know, like a thingo wooden stand thing, and that was what they called the monitor. And so if you wanted, in, you know, like a certain code to ring a certain place before the number, she'd look it up for you. And then over on the other wall, they had three desks side by side with a big whiteboard next to it. And that was your 1100, which was, you know, if you had telephone and difficulties, so you'd take all the reports, test phones for being busy or out of order, and you'd ring the technicians, or you had the information lines, or you'd look up, you know, you'd look up the big books all over.
So you had, so if someone wanted a number,
they'd ring 012 or 013. 012 was local, and 013, no, 012 was like just standard information for numbers, and then 013 was general, like local phone numbers, and then you had your interstate, well, that was 0175. So they were the numbers you'd rang to get the operator for different things, and like international was another number, but I can't remember that one now.
And back then, it didn't cost you anything to...
No, it was free service. And also, what I get jacked off with now is... in them days, that's what the monitor was there for. She'd turn around and the lights used to shine up on this big wall of calls coming in. And they'd say, overlap on the queue, girls. You know, we weren't allowed to keep a caller waiting for a certain amount of time. And you'd have to say, hold the line, please. Operator, hold the line. You'd plug them all in and get them to wait while you took each call. And if you were that busy, you'd take the person's number and say, oh, you know, we'll ring you back in a minute. But now you ring up and I get so flustered. I mean, even to ring the bank. Press 1, press 2 if you want this, press 3 if you... and then when you finally get through, then they say, what's your number? And then you get, I don't understand, repeat that last thing again. Oh, I get so jacked off with it because of how we were pressured. And also they used to listen in to your work and every so often. They used to call it observation. And they'd score you. And if you didn't talk properly to your customer... and if you didn't say please or thank you, you had to use your manners. They would turn around and they'd call you into this room. You'd get a big lecture from the woman, the monitor, and then you'd have to write a please explain in why you didn't say please or thank you or whatever you did wrong, or you took too long to answer the phone or connect the call, or it was just the way you spoke. And, I mean, now everything is just so different, you know? And it really, and it makes me laugh because all this modernisation, now it takes longer to get through and is so frustrating. And no matter who you, even an ambulance, you ring an ambulance. Before you'd ring up, you know, to connect up. Now it takes, even they've got waiting lines.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you've actually got to line up to die. You know, and this is the whole thing about it. It's just a joke. Because things are modernised, they're supposed to be easier and computerised, and they're not.
And they actually charge you for that?
More. Like that day when you were away, I wanted a phone number to ring. I had to ring a specialist. And I say, everyone, I'm a diabetic, and I had to ring to make an appointment. And I couldn't get through. It just rang and rang and rang, and I thought, that's strange. It should answer. It's a specialist. So I thought, I'll ring information. And the new information now is 1234. So I dialed 1234.
Because you'd seen all the ads on TV saying 1234.
Yeah. So this guy answers, you know, name of whatever, suburb and whatever, and I said the name of the doctor and the suburb, you know, and he said, right, would you like me to connect you? And I thought, oh, that's different. And I said, yes, please. So it, same thing. He put me through and the number just rang out and then it dropped out. And I thought, that's ridiculous. So I turned around and I was so cranky about it because he never came back on or whatever. But anyway, I finally found out the doctors were closed because he was away. But cut a long story short, what happened a month or so later, because when your mail comes here, I don't open it. And there's his, there was our, we get Optus. And here's a phone bill for Telstra.
Which is one of the other phone companies that we're not with.
Yeah.
So we're like, so I'm sent.
And it was in your name.
Why have we got a Telstra bill?
Yeah, and you opened it. And you come in and said, what's this bill for $2.05? And I said, oh, that's when I tried to ring the doctor. Yeah, and it didn't answer. You know, and so I BPAid it. But I was so annoyed about it because it cost me $2.05.
And you didn't get through
and
anyway.
And I didn't get through anyway. And the doctor wasn't there for another couple of weeks because he was in Rome, you know. So, but I had to make two other phone calls to find out. And the operator didn't tell me. I ended up ringing up the diabetic centre at the hospital to find out that, you know, they told me that he was overseas.
So back in your day, well, getting back to that theme, if you were getting put through to the specialist and he didn't answer,
you wouldn't charge the person anything. You just say, I'm sorry, they're not answering at the moment. And would you try again later? And then you'd give them the number, well, you'd tell them the number, you know? So, but that's where the joke is. They charge you for everything these days, you know? And you don't even turn around and get service for it. And that's really frustrating, you know?
This is Jen, and you're listening to Inside My Head.
My day job is getting in the way of my life. I'm starting to feel like a real podcaster now.
Today's haiku of frustration, and it is called Work Phone. I want to break it. Hear it ring when I'm at home and when I'm sleeping. And that's today's haiku of frustration, because I have had it with the phones ringing off the hook at work. Yay. Yay, technology.
Say something beautiful to me.
Jen.phantompower.org.
So let's move forward from the telephone exchange. And you said earlier that you went and worked with the Army.
Yeah.
At the Army base here
yeah,
at Penrith.
On the switchboard
On the switchboard there.
Yeah.
So the switchboard there, how different was that?
Well, the first one I worked on was a little switchboard, and it was just like a cupboard sort of thing. You know, I had like a little table with the a little table at the front, and then it had the double row of keys that you push forward or pull back, and then on the side it had the dial thing for you to dial the number, and then it had the plugs like a telephone exchange, the double plugs. And then at the bottom of the downboard that you faced, like, you know, it looks like a bookcase, but it's all holes and lights, you turn around and you had, like, we had five incoming lines. So when a call came in, the light had, so you'd know it was a call, and it, and the thing used to buzz. But what I used to do when I was busy, I used to, you had a key and you could deaden the buzz noise because it'd drive you mad buzzing all the time. So I turned around and, you know, if a call came in, you'd stick the plug in it and you'd say, you know, Penrith Army Camp, you know, Judy speaking. And my name became, you know, Australia-wide in the end. Everyone got to know me, you know. But I'd turn around and they'd say, oh, I want to speak to so-and-so. And you'd say, connecting. And then you'd...
connecting you to so-and-so.
And then you'd plug it in. Well, when... it was really funny because when I first started for the Army, because I didn't understand Army lingo, and Timmy would get a kick out of that, and I turned around and everyone was sir, you know, and the women it was ma'am, you know, and I turned around and the Army, the young, because then it was National Service for Vietnam, and all the young soldiers, they thought it was fantastic because they were getting called sir, you know, until I found out their ranks, whatever, you know, and then when it was like, we called them the big knobs, like the colonel and the majors and the captains and things, when they had calls, you'd connect them up, or you, people rung them, you always rung them and you introduced who was calling. You couldn't just connect them and ring it and close the key.
So you'd say, Colonel Tim, this is Major Private, Tom.
Private Tom, or, yeah, Colonel Tim, this is, Colonel Tim, he'd be our boss. And you'd say, Private Drew's calling you from Victoria. You know, connecting, go ahead, please. And you'd close the key and leave them. So, and then when they finished, both lights would glow and you just pull the plugs out. And, I mean, many a time you'd have them all like spaghetti, all crisped up and crossed up. A few times I disconnected them. And the other thing was, if you were cranky with someone, you'd turn around and because it was all electric, the end of the jack that you plugged into the holes, if you touched the wrong part of the board, it would make a crackling noise,
like,
you know?
A zap.
Yeah, like the you can do on your phones and things. And I turned around, and so if I was cranky with someone, I used to purposely zap it along the wall and it hit in their ears. You say, oh, sorry.
Oops.
So you make out, you know, you didn't do it, but you do it on purpose, you know? So, but it was a really interesting job. I enjoyed it.
Once you got to know who was who in the zoo, so to speak,
yeah,
did that make things easier?
Oh, yeah. It was a good job, you know. I had to have... I was there 10 and a half years, so I had to have been a good job, you know. I mean, that's how I met your father. So Eric's an Army brat, everybody.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Anyway, he turned around and he... and I also used to work... before I had Eric, I used to work in the canteen or the OR's mess. I used to pull the beer of an afternoon after work. So I'd finish up at work at 20 past four, close the switchboard over, and then I'd go run down to the building behind where I was at the head office, run down to the building behind, and I'd open the bar up. And I used to serve the guys all their grog until 10 o'clock at night. And then I'd have to, you know, clean everything up, put everything away and for the next day and fill the fridges, blah, 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 you know. And I had it lined up with the cooks. If they bought me a meal, I'd give them a couple of free beers. So I used to get me dinner for nothing and they used to get a couple of beers for it because you're allowed for spillage. But when you're a good barmaid, like I was...
back in the day.
Back in my day, you turn around and you don't have much spillage. So you can give a couple of freebies away. You know? So that's what I used to do. I had it lined up with the cooks and I tell you what, they saved me a few times from being hungry.
Yes, I can imagine they would. So we
and you.
We moved from the Army camp.
Yeah.
And then we moved to when I got my first mobile phone.
Yeah.
That was when I first started working with the railways.
Yeah.
It would have been just over 15 years since I got the mobile phone. And then
under.
It would have been...
Under?
Under.
Yeah, because it's only 15 years coming up. So it'd be less than 15
years. Less than 15 years.
Yeah.
And so I basically got the phone for security,
yeah,
travelling to and from an
the
hour.
City. Yeah.
An hour each way before I had a car.
Yeah.
And I remember the first mobile phone that I actually applied for was with Optus, and I actually got knocked back. The old analog phone, the old 018 numbers.
Yeah.
And I got knocked back, and then I brought my first digital phone, which in comparison to the phones that we've got now,
like a house brick.
Like a house brick. And I remember saying, you saying to me at the time, "Oh, what do you want a mobile phone for? You know, who do you know?"
Yeah, now look at it.
And now look at it, you know.
Well, that's like you bought me my first mobile phone because I had some ponies and I used to keep them at a place called Orchard Hills. I used to lease 5 acres and keep them out there. And so poor old Eric would be home here on his own, starving, hungry, and Mum would be out at the paddock with the horses and get carried away and forget what time it was. So he decided to buy me and I had a bad leg at the time. And I was always, it used to give way on me and I used to have a balance problem with it and fall over. And so he decided to buy me for Mother's Day a mobile phone. But it was funny because if I was too long and he was hungry, when are you coming home, Mum? But it was quite funny because in different parts in the paddock, it had no reception. So half the time he'd try and ring me and he couldn't get through anyway, so it defeated the purpose, you know. So that was a waste of time, wasn't it?
But over the time it did, you know, it saved our bacon a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, like when the car broke down, when I used to sit down the station and wait for you to come home from work and you'd ring me because the train was held up or running late for some reason and you'd ring me and say, "I'm sitting in the train at Blacktown at the moment, Mum." You know, so at least then I knew because the station where I used to meet you was real dark and there was no one around and it was really creepy. So I used to take my little dog with me as my security thing, you know. So you turn around and, you know, you used to ring the mobile. So, I mean, and also if the car broke down, that was another good thing because you'd ring up the NRMA to come out and fix your what's Jen's one? What she rung when she got herself locked out?
The AAA.
Triple A. Well, we call it NRMA over here in Australia.
Or in New South Wales anyway.
Yeah, because it's something else in Victoria, isn't it?
RACQ. Road Automobile Club Victoria.
Yeah.
And South Australia and Queensland and that.
So, I mean, the mobile phone's been handy like that to ring up because, you know, the car won't start or got a flat tyre, they'll come and change your car if you've got a flat tyre. So, you know, had a few times where I had an old Valiant for 23 years. So that's another story for another podcast.
Oh, absolutely. And so these days with the mobile phone.
Yeah.
It's been a lot better.
Yeah. So nowadays, I mean, compare the mobile phone now to when they first came out in how many years would it be now? 15 years?
15 years for me.
Yeah. You know, from the big dinosaur house brick, you turn around now and they're so blooming little. I mean, I can't find mine in my handbag when it, you know, it doesn't ring very often. But so because the handbag's black and the phone's black, I've got a special pouch that I have to put it in so I don't have to be waiting, you know, looking for it, you know. But, I mean, I used to say to you, they're going to bring, when they're talking about, you know, cameras in the phones and stuff. And I said, oh, my God, you know, what next are they going to invent? And now look at them. You take photos with the phones. You turn around and you text people on them.
The internet.
Yeah, the internet. And what else is there? MP3, you can play music because you can plug it in and play music and stuff on it with the built-in radio and things. It's just so, and it now, like the prepaid, I've got a prepaid phone now because the last phone that I had, I was paying $5 a month and I'd hardly ever use it because since all my family have gone, there's only Eric that rings me now. So Eric bought me a, a little prepaid for Christmas a couple of years ago. So I just put $30 on it and it does me for, you know, 3 months, 4 months, whatever, because I hardly ever use it. So there's a big difference now compared to when the mobile phones first came out.
And it's very handy. Sometimes you'd be at home and I'd be at work and something would happen and you've done it a couple of times where something's happened and you'd rung me.
Or what about when we go shopping? We go down to Eric's Westfield. He drops me at the grocery part, the Woolies, and I turn around and I go and do the shopping, and then I ring him when I'm near the checkout, and he has to go up to his JB Hi-Fi, and I ring him up, and so he says, I'm on my way, and then I'm waiting half an hour or more for him. You leave me hanging. But he comes to help me back to the car. But so if we didn't have the mobile phone, and what about one time when I forgot to take it? I left it at home.
Oh, so, I was thinking more about the time of the muffins.
The muffins? Huh?
You were here and I was at work and you were cooking muffins and...
No, that was a Christmas pudding.
Oh, Christmas pudding.
It was a little Christmas pudding left over from Christmas and I decided to cook it. And I got confused. And I turn around and I put the wrong, instead of 3 seconds, I put 3 minutes and ended up, the house was full of smoke and I couldn't breathe and I called you and I had to ring the fire brigade and they had to come out and clean all the smoke out of the house.
Because you rung me, I was at work and...
On the mobile, yeah.
On my mobile and I'm like, well, I can't do anything. Get out of the house, ring 000.
Yeah.
Which is our emergency number, and just wait out the front for the firemen to arrive. And
then
you said, oh, my God, because you rang me about three or four times. You rang me about three or four times.
Yeah,
and
giving
you a run and relay. And then you said, oh, they've sent the biggest fire truck they've got.
And you tried to ring Squeak, and he wouldn't answer because he was asleep because he was on early's. So here I am out the front, hanging over the veranda with the phone in my hand, giving you a commentation of, and then the fire truck pulls up with all the lights flashing
and I'm trying to calm you down.
I was so embarrassed. And the Sheila that took the call told him my house was on fire instead of my microwave. Anyway, they came in, I was so embarrassed, and then they got this charcoal black rock muffin Christmas pudding out of the microwave, even the plate. It couldn't get off the plate. It was cooked to the plate. And they took me outside because I was coughing and going on, and they had to put me on an oxygen machine. And then they called the ambulance. So that was another... That really was an embarrassing night, that.
But the mobile phone saved your bacon because...
Oh, yeah.
Because who wouldn't know what could have happened if I wasn't calming you down? I couldn't do anything like be here.
Well, by the time you got here, if it was a fire, the house would have been burnt down because it takes you an hour.
But that's it. So I was able to calm you down and the firemen arrived.
And then Drew wasn't living up here then, so we couldn't ring Drewy. So, because Drewy saved me a couple of times when Eric's been at work. I've been crook and I've been at the bus stop and have a panic attack and I ring Drew and he's come and saved me. So the phones, they don't use them much, but they do.
When you use them.
They, yeah. Well, what's the old saying? They come in handy. They save your life, and that's true.
So there's been so many times there where it has come in handy, and for me, you know, talking to a lot of different people, when I'm at work, when I'm going to and from work.
Well, what about you podcasting on your phone while you're driving the train?
Oh, exactly right.
Yeah, not many people could do that.
No, that's exactly right. And so that's talking, how far we've come.
Talking to Shauno in America while you're driving a train around the city, giving them a run and relay. that's a story and a half.
Yeah, it sure is. But we could talk about phones for ages, but.
This is the end of our little story.
This is the end of episode 2. Of course, if you want to tell us your telephone stories, suggest a topic, let us know how we're going, etc., you can email me, irkpod@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on the show notes at blastfromthepastpodcast.com, or you can check out all my podcasts, Irk Pod, Echo Romeo Kilo, and Irk FM at channelirk.com. And so you can find out the latest episode, what we've been doing, etc. there. We'll be back soon
with another episode of Blast from the Past podcast. And we'd like to close this show with a little song that's appropriate to tonight's episode. And it's called Little Red Wagon Telephone. Little Red Wagon, Little Red Telephone by Art Linton. Take it away.
And that was from the PodSafe Music Network. And until next time,
good night, Interweb.
Good night, Interweb.
Judy's got addiction.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. There's no ease in podcast and no ease in blueberry.com.